Well, I'm glad he lifted me. If you wouldn't, your Bibles turn tonight to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Just talk a little bit tonight about the subject of pressure and stress and some things the Bible has to say about the world in which we are in and the problems that we do face. Probably the most familiar passage on that I have used from the pulpit many times on problems and just the things that we face every day is found in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." And I think as we face problems, as we face difficult situations, as we face testings and the things that we go through every day, really it is a lot about our attitude and the way that we look at those problems, the way we face problems, and understanding that we are not alone. I'm still amazed at how many times a young couple or couples of any age come into my office and they have marital problems and they think, honestly, they think that this problem is entirely unique to them. And I don't smirk at them, and I wouldn't do that. But at some point in the counseling, I remind them and say, you know what, I've had many who've sat right where they sat in my office, who have had the same problems and who've gone through the same situation and who have had victory in that situation. So such as is common to man. I think sometimes when we face problems, I know sometimes when we face problems, we feel like it's just us. And we have a tendency to, just to isolate ourselves and say, woe is me, I'm the only one going through this. Remember old Elijah, after that great Mount Carmel experience, he called down fire from heaven and old Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you before the day's up. And he took off running. And there at some point he told God, why is this happening to me? I wish I wasn't born. I'm the only one still serving you. And God told him, no, there's still 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And I'm going to tell you that all of us face problems. Every day, to some degree, we face pressure. We face stress. And you are not alone. You are not alone. I was watching the evening news tonight. And they interviewed Madonna, of all people. And they asked her, how is your life? Something that I'm summarizing. What is it like to be Madonna? And all she did was complain. Her life was hard. This was this and that. You know what? Money doesn't exempt you from trials and pressure and problems. I think some people think, well, if I just had a little more, I wouldn't face these problems. No, if you had a little more, you'd spend a little more. For the most part, we all face problems every day. Such as is common to man. Problems are common to all of us. The problem is not that we have problems, but how we view and react to those problems. And I think as we, the Bible makes that clear, as we face these problems, that we ought to be proactive in the way we're going to react. In other words, we ought to know, hey, these things are here for a purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything we face in life, the Bible says, the Bible's truth. The Bible says God is working to our good. Luke chapter 21, and here it's talking about the times in which we live. Verse 26, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That day's coming, by the way. Jesus will return, and the great rapture will happen, calling away, and that great day of Jacob's trouble will come, and there will be trouble on the earth. But can I tell you that we won't live through that? We won't live through that 7 years of tribulation. We definitely are going to see and already seeing the signs of those things that are to come. I think that God has not appointed His children to wrath, but I do believe we're going to see the signs. In the last days, perilous times shall come. We dangerous times. And we're in those times. And we're in times of, you would think, you know, with all the technology we have and all the things that we have, all the conveniences we have, that we can breathe a little bit and relax a little bit, but all the technology has done has made our life more complex. I mean, there were times when you had to use a regular phone at the house or at the business. Now they can reach you anytime they want. Right? I used to like cruises, but now I think you can call on cruises too. So, anyway, it's hard to get away. It's hard to shut down. And that's the day in which we live. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for your love. And Lord, I don't want to just sit here and talk about all the problems and all the things that we face. And God, we know that you're a loving and kind and gracious God, that you show mercy and grace to us every day. Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for the homes you've given us, the country we live in. Lord, what a blessing it is to be alive and to be a Christian and to be able to be a part of what you have planned in our lives and in the church. And I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight to face our problems in the right way and help us, Lord, to see the biblical principles tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We all face difficulties. A lot of times we face disappointment and we face discouragement, defeat or failure. And many times we face disappointment because we have too high of expectations of others around us. I'm telling you, if somebody hasn't failed you yet, they will. If others haven't disappointed you yet, they will. Your spouse will disappoint you. Others will disappoint you. And the whole premise behind that is that God will never disappoint you. And God will never let you down. Number two is inferiority. We've talked about these before. But so many people today live with insecurity and inadequacies, a fear of failure, a sense of embarrassment, a self-consciousness. They don't like the way they look. What do others think about me? More worried about what others think about me, what others, the way I dress, the way I look. A lot of our teenagers are that way. I am sick and tired. I had a couple tell me about 13 years ago, 14 years ago. They said to me, Brother Crawford, and I was talking to them about their children, and they were having some trouble with their children. Their children dressed in all the latest clothes and all the latest apparel, and they were spending thousands of dollars. I mean, buying a $100 pair of shoes, a pair of tennis shoes for a kid that costs $100. I won't do it. Not in this lifetime. Not ever. And that parent went on to tell me, well, your kids aren't teenagers yet. Wait till your kids get teenagers. You'll do it. I said, no, I won't. You know what? And I haven't. And I won't. If they don't cost $30, their kids don't get them. If they want a pair of shoes that cost more than $30, they'll make up the difference. And my kids have. If they want a pair of too concerned about what others think about them. Too concerned about what the label is on the clothes. I can care less. And we need to teach our children the same. Amen. It puts pressure on them. That social pressure. Pressure around them. It makes them self-conscious. What are others thinking about me? You know what? I'm not concerned about what others think of me. I'm concerned about what my Lord thinks about me. You know what? If my Lord is proud of me and my Lord is okay with me, then you know what? Everything will work out with others, right? But we see this going on in our world today. There's such a fear of people, a fear of failure. Let's always remember that it's not fair to make physical comparisons with others. In other words, I wasn't made like you, and you weren't made like me. I got a big nose; you may not. You know, God made me just like I am, and God didn't make no junk. Amen. And you want to be teaching our children this. Sometimes we make unfair spiritual comparisons. We like to compare ourselves spiritually with someone else in the church. Don't do it. That's unfair to yourself and unfair to the other person. And then unfair personal comparisons. Feeling yourself as being a nothing or being a nobody. And listen, with God, nobody's a nobody. We're all somebody. Amen? That was my Joel Osteen impression. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ with strength of me. I can. I can do everything. And that verse specifically is talking about my spiritual walk, that I can walk spiritually with my Lord. I can walk circumspectly. I can walk in love. I can live out the Christian life. I can run the race with the Lord's. By my side. As we think about tonight especially, we think about the pressures. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Again, that temptations have taken us, such as is common to man. One of the biggest problems in our world today, according to experts, is stress and is pressure that people are under. As we think about stress, we think about men's hearts failing, women's hearts failing. It takes a toll. Pressure takes a toll on everybody. It does seem with all the men's devices and supposed progress that society would become less and less pressurized, but instead it's become more increasingly pressurized. We can go from coast to coast in the United States in less time than it took our forefathers to hook up the horses to the buggy, right? I mean, it's amazing what we can do today. All the microwave society in which we live. I was thinking yesterday just about sticking the maple syrup, the pancake syrup in the microwave, taking the lid off and warming it up. I do it almost every morning for our kids. I warm their syrup up. My dad never did that for me. But with the microwave, 45 seconds, it's warm. That's the day which we live in. It's amazing what we have and what we can do. Even in my lifetime, the progress has been made. I know some of you sitting in the pew, you could tell lots of better stories than I can about the progress in technology that's been made. And again, you would think with all the things that have taken place and all the things that have happened, that our society would have become less and less stressful. But that's not the case. It's become more stressful. Knowledge has increased, and as knowledge has increased, so has the stress level. As you think about pressure being a problem, Webster defines pressure as the state of being squeezed or crushed, that which afflicts the body or depresses the spirit, any severe affliction, distress, calamity, or grievance, urgency, as the pressure of business. Pressure is occasioned by weight or gravity, by the expansion of fluids, by elasticity. Pressure basically is feeling like someone is being crushed. And I would dare say that most of us in the room have felt that pressure at one time or another. Have felt the pressure of work, or felt the pressure of finances, or felt the pressure of health, or felt the pressure of children, or felt the pressure of marriage. And at some point we've laid our heads down at night and we have felt like we've been crushed that day. Just felt like we've been through the grinder that day. I guess nobody else has ever felt that way. Okay, good. I'll just make sure I'm on target here. We see around us many people who have nervous breakdowns, and we see a lot of burnout going on today, and I've told you my opinion of burnout. I really believe burnout, as far as in the spiritual term, in the spiritual world, in the church, that burnout absolutely can happen as far as physically concerned, but many times burnout, as far as spiritually connected, has to do with your relationship with the Lord. Keep that relationship right with the Lord. You won't experience as far as spiritual burnout is concerned. And that's a whole other discussion on burnout. But we understand and we know. I mean, psychiatrists are getting so wealthy, it's unbelievable. We live in a day and age which everybody wants to lay down on the couch and get talked to. And there are times for that. But can I tell you, most individuals, most people, if they would just rely and lean, as we've sang tonight, on the Lord, they wouldn't have to and wouldn't have a need for a psychiatrist's couch. They wouldn't have a need to come into the pastor's office and talk to the pastor. Listen, we're all under pressure. We see today so many violent things going on around us. And even to the point of parents running away from their children. Whoever thought that would have happened? Parents leaving their children on the side of the road, or parents walking away from their kids after feeling the pressure. We understand and know that pressure is not, as Christians, we're not immune from pressure. In fact, I will tell you tonight that as a Christian, sometimes it often intensifies the pressure. And boy, this is exactly opposite doctrine from Joel Osteen. When a person gets saved and is trying to live right and do right, the devil does not like that. And therefore, he is going to fight it. I had an opportunity to talk to Brother Doug Ellis today. And he planted a church in Roanoke and just had a great time visiting with him today and just taking him through the process of building and what things we went through. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, the things we went through that were so difficult, this is my third or fourth time to sit down with a preacher and walk him through it and say, please don't do this. Please don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. And if you don't listen to me, you're an idiot. Remember I told you that here a while back? I called all them college students out there names if they didn't listen to me. Just try to get their attention. And we're just talking to him about, you know, the pressures and things that we face. But just as a Christian, you're trying to do right. You're trying to live right. A lot of times that intensifies the pressure. And I was telling Brother Ellis today, if you're trying to do right, if the church is trying to build and the church is trying to, and is still, you know, walking the old paths and still preaching and teaching the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and it's not caught up in the contemporary movement and the entertainment business, but it's trying to just be a good old-fashioned Baptist church, the devil hates that. And I said, please go tell your people. Try to do it, spin it as positively as possible. But tell your people that when they start this building process, the devil hates that. And he's going to do anything he can to fight it. He's going to get the city in uproar. He's going to do whatever he can to slow the process down. I said, just be reminded. And I'm telling you, as Christians, it's the same way. The devil hates that you're trying to do right. The devil hates that you're here tonight. He's saying, you're making this all new devil this and devil that. The devil's real. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates that you read your Bible. He hates that you have devotions with your kids. He hates that you pray with your kids. He hates those things. He's going to do anything he can to stop it. And boy, he'll put the pressure on, doesn't he? I mean, you feel that pressure every day. Feel that pressure. But again, as we're feeling the pressure, we need to be reminded that such as is common to man, all of us are experiencing the pressure every day. And again, you have those days where you just really feel like you've been crushed. We need to be reminded again that we are not immune because we are Christians. As we think about the pressures and what the pressure produces, stress is a terrible thing. It really is. In some cases, causes physical problems. In fact, I'll tell you that stress that is not, you know, if you don't get stress in check, it will cause you physical problems. High blood pressure and heart-related problems, stomach problems, all sorts of things. You know, you get addicted to Pepto-Bismol. Men's heart will fail them as they view Christ's return. That's what the verse says, it's talking about. Their hearts will fail them. I can tell you this, they're going to be under some pressure when they see the Lord. When He comes down on that the Mount Calvary there, and He splits it in two, there's going to be some pressure. And He's going to speak with the word of His mouth, and all those soldiers are going to die, and there's going to be some pressure. Physical problems. Number two, my voice is changing. Number two, think about pressure. What does pressure produce? Physical problems. Our physical bodies are under that pressure. It causes problems. Number two, program and scheduling. Just the routine responsibilities of life cause pressure. In other words, our job-related pressures. Commuting. I kid with some of you guys that drive from Dallas to get here, but I want you to know that I seriously do pray for you. I think about you guys. I know some of you come here and you don't get to eat supper. You've been on the road. I think about Brother Rick. I mean, there's several of you who are traveling to get here on Wednesday night. Traveling to get here on a Tuesday night for visitation. And I don't take it lightly. I have to go like a block and I'm here. I know you can, yeah, smile. But it is. And all those things can cause pressure, whether it's commuting and the conditions in which we are, the job-related problems and the things we face at the job, and then have to come home and face the duties at home and cooking and cleaning and kids and our grandkids or whatever it may be. It's just a constant every day. Just as fast as you can go, getting up at 5 or 6 and getting home at dark and here we go. Boy, in the Christian's life, we can get in that same rat race, can't we? The demands of life. But can I remind you that in Mark chapter 6, the Bible speaks of Jesus going off into a deserted place. That even Jesus Christ, with the demanding schedule He had, He took time to come apart and pray with His disciples. Just want to remind you, in the rat race that we are in, and in the complex schedules that we all have, I know you think the pastor only works a day and a half, but you can come up and follow me anytime you want. I'll certainly try my best to show you that I don't work just a day and a half. Brother Wiggins does, but I don't. And as we follow that schedule day after day after day and day after day after day, can I remind you that every day you have a purpose? Unlike the rest of the world out there, when you get in your car that morning, you have a purpose. You have a purpose that God has given you every day to live for Him. You've been given a purpose every day to be that testimony. You're the person that's on the highway commuting that isn't yelling and screaming at those around you. Right? Amen? You're the one at work when something bad happens and they're talking about this or they're talking about that. You're not the one gossiping. You're not the one in there with them telling the dirty stories. You're not the one cussing along with them. You're not the one. You're being that example. Your purpose is to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Amen? And that's our purpose. Our purpose is to go to work and earn that paycheck and come home and be able to supply food for our families and be able to supply giving for our church and just keep on keeping on. Every workplace is a ministry. It ought to be. You ought to see that. Briefcase Christianity is going to the job and understanding that that job is just as great an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. To be a testimony for our Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a pressurized world in which we live, and yes, it's a rat race, and again, cell phones and all these things have just made it more complex. But don't forget your purpose. The demands and service of the life, the program and the routine, all these things produce pressure in life. Number three, we think about the social pressures, the pressure to conform to fashion and philosophy. And I already touched on that a little bit. You know, it's big time today that kids or ladies or especially ladies are told that they have to be this size, or they're told they have to look this way, or and so forth. They're pressurized to conform. Our kids are being pressurized to conform to a particular way of dressing, a particular way of looking, a particular standard. And so let's be reminded that we don't have to conform to those things, that your children don't have to wear those things. Well, they'll get made fun of at school. I wore tough skins when I was a kid. How many of you adults made your kids wear tough skins? Raise your hands. I want to see them. One, two. Some of you won't admit it, but you did. So about the fourth or fifth time I came home from school and my knees were wore out of my britches, my mom said, "You're going to tough skins." So I had those black pants with the big old patches on the knees, and I got made fun of. But you know what? It hasn't affected me at all. I'm not bitter at all. I'll tell you right now, if Micah didn't have to wear a certain kind of uniform, he'd be in them too. That boy wears his knees out every week. They don't make them no more, do they? I'll get Miss Summers to make me some. But they don't have to conform to those things. And again, you can find Nikes on sale. I'm not saying that. We've gone to stores and found Nikes for $25 or whatever. But listen, they don't have to have those things. It's not a necessity to conform to that particular kind of dress or that kind of purse or whatever the case is. I mean, you're with me, aren't you? I mean, oh my goodness. Come on, some of you young couples with young kids, don't do it. Don't get into it. Your kids are going to complain. Mine do. Some, not a whole lot. I tell them all the time. Some of y'all know I like to fish. I say to them, do you want a boat or do you want a $100 pair of shoes? Do you want to go fishing or do you want a $100 pair of shoes? I give them choices. No, just kidding. Pressure to conform to fashion and philosophy. Pressure to conform to a standard of living. And that would apply to all of us. You know, keeping up with the Joneses and having to have a certain kind of truck or a certain kind of car, or having this or having that. And I'm really enjoying it. We're actually watching the Dave Ramsey videos along with every week, along with the guys upstairs. And I'm enjoying the videos. And I would encourage you the next time we do this that you go through the Dave Ramsey program. And just being reminded, hey, you don't have to live up to the world's stuff. You don't have to conform to the world's standards. And we need to conform to the Bible standards. We need to conform to this standard when it comes to our finances. We need to conform to this standard when it comes to the way in which we live. We need to conform to them. And then number three, pressure to conform to success indicators. In other words, as we think about, conforming to somebody else who's having success, saying they did it that way, I need to do it that way. I have several books in my library on leadership, and seven habits of leadership, and all those things. And listen, you can conform to the ideal and to the leadership stuff in which you read, but let me tell you, this is what we need to follow when it comes to leadership. And we want success in life, follow the book. If you'll be faithful to God and follow His plan, He'll be faithful to you. He will. Conform to some kind of success indicators. What does it mean to be a success? I believe, look at your children. Does success mean you have to live in a million-dollar home? No, that's not success. Look at your kids. I believe a man and a wife who can't spend time with their kids during the week and all they do is work, that's not success. Caleb's 17. He's going to graduate, not this May, but next May. I'm thankful that I played baseball with him. You know, I'm thankful I played football with him. I'm thankful I get to still fishing with him. Thankful he still can't beat me up yet. The day's coming. I mean that in a playful term, not really beat me up. Okay. Watch out for the internet. Thankful. That's success to me. Success is, again, in the eyes of the Lord. What does He think of me? We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, the Bible says, and that it's our reasonable service. And be not conformed to what? This world. And I'm sorry, at Heritage Baptist Church, and every church, every Christian to a certain extent, still has that longing to be accepted by others. And we have a tendency to conform to those around us. And to want to conform. Don't give in. Don't give in to that pressure. Number four, I think about different pressures and what it produces is personal pressure, self-pressure. Sometimes we get in an instance where we set unattainable goals. I do this all the time. And I will tell you that I have backed way off. And sometimes we'll get around and we'll create New Year's resolutions that are absolutely unattainable. And then we'll get down on ourselves because we haven't attained them. I think it's good to set some goals. I think you need to set goals. Not only in your jobs, but also in your personal life. If you don't ever set a goal, you're never going to hit nothing, right? I mean, we set goals. But make sure when you set goals that you prayed about those goals. And they're not just your goals. They're stamped by God, if you would. And that they're attainable. Help your kids learn this. Help your grandchildren learn this. We all know that each child is built and has different personalities and different abilities. And sometimes we take a child in one category and is good in this area, and we think the next child is going to be good in that area. And we kind of want to just put them on an assembly line and say they're all alike, and they're not. We all know that. But sometimes our expectation for the next one is the same as it was for the first one. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes parents will get into that. Well, your brother did. Who cares what the brother did? You know, let the sibling rivalry hash that out. But a parent shouldn't be comparing the two kids. I'm talking about their abilities. I'm talking about one kid making a 95 in math and the other one making a 75. Not everybody can make A's. I know you may not think that. You think, well, a little more study and a little more. There's just certain people just not going to do it. They don't have the ability to do it. My brother is one of those. And he'll tell you to this day, he stinks at math. You know, I would make straight A's in whatever math you want to put me in. But he couldn't do it. But you put me in Spanish, man, I don't know if it's my dialect or my Texas draw, but I would stink at Spanish. Okay, I think maybe all of us in here would have, no, not all of us. Okay, my wife doesn't. Anyway. But just setting unattainable goals and making unfair comparisons to others and just setting the bar too high. I know, I, listen, I'm the ultimate optimist, and that's sometimes my problem. set goals that you can reach. Some of you are smiling because you know exactly what I'm saying. Sometimes we make unnecessary vows. We tell people we're going to do this or we're going to do that, knowing that we can't do it. And then that puts us under the pressure. At some point, you've got to learn to say no. Resisting the old nature. Listen, when it comes to us, we understand that that old man, that new man is warring within our members. Romans chapter 7 says, there is a battle on the inside. There is a battle. And if you don't have a battle going on the inside, you're not saved. There should be a battle going on the inside. A side that wants to do right, a side that wants to do wrong, and it's constant. Paul said, I'm in a strait between two, right? In Philippians he said that. But in Romans 7, he said, the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do, and those are the things I want to do, I don't do. Back and forth, right? It's a battle. Just don't get weary of the battle. Keep up the good fight. Be careful about putting yourself under constant pressure. And lastly, we think about pressure produces the spiritual area. In other words, we're under a spiritual warfare. Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand. Get up in the morning. Put on the whole armor of God. As I think about pressure, there are some positive things when it comes to pressure. Pressure is what, and progress is what fills the ship's sails and moves it forward. Power is what turns a generator. Pressure comes, diamonds are created by pressure. I'm just giving you some illustrations here. Pressure produces and promotes achievement. Pressure and deadlines makes measurement possible. And because of pressure, procrastination is prevented. So pressure is not always negative. Sometimes it is positive. I am telling you now, as we think about pressure, it's all how we do with our attitude. Our attitude and the way we look at the problems and the pressure which we face. When we're in the pressure cooker, a pressure cooker has a release valve. God rested on the seventh day. Mark chapter 6, as I mentioned a while ago, Jesus came apart with his disciples to pray. I think some of us could maybe use Sunday as the day in which it was meant to be and rest a little bit. Might help you a whole lot. I know some of you may have to mow the yard on Sunday afternoon, and maybe that's the only time you have. I know we kid each other about taking a nap on Sunday afternoon, but sometimes that's not a bad idea. Sometimes we just get in the rat race and we are just physically spent. Can I just encourage you to get some physical rest? Number two, diversions. Do something different. I've said from the pulpit many times that going to the Bahamas will not fix your problems. You're going to come back and have the same problems. So what would be best is to get right with God before you go to the Bahamas. Right? It's not wrong to take a cruise. But don't use the cruise as a way to escape. That's what drunks do. They use alcohol as a way to escape their problems. Some people do it through entertainment, whether it's baseball or hobbies or whatever. But it's not wrong to have hobbies. Hobbies are a diversion. And sometimes it's good, they're relaxing. About 7 years ago, Brother Terry took me out fishing. I've pond fished all my life. Some of you have heard this story, but I've pond fished all my life. I grew up in the country. I mean, I've never been in a boat, a boat that's actually on a lake. I've been in like a John boat, but not in a real boat with a motor on it. Took us out fishing, me and my two oldest boys, and we caught a couple of really big fish. I said, I think I'll buy a boat. I'm going to try this fishing. And I went and bought me a little used boat, little small boat. And we enjoyed it. We still enjoy it. It is a good diversion. It is a good time to spend with my boys. I've enjoyed it. My boys enjoy it. I don't fish by myself. and probably my kids are gone. I won't say exactly, but fishing won't be that important anymore. But I do enjoy it. It is a diversion. What is your hobby? Do you have one? I think it would be good to have. I've told Brother Terry several times, I said, I believe you've saved my life. My wife will testify to this. I mean, I was like my dad. I didn't have a hobby. Work, 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 on and on and on. Sometimes you need a diversion. I like to work with wood. I like to just get outside. Some of you guys are that way. Some of you ladies just like to go to the store. I don't like to go to the store. What is your diversion? Sometimes it's just good to get away. Get away. And we could spend a lot more time on that. Lastly, the most important thing you can do when it comes to pressure and stress, and you know this, I'm not teaching you nothing that you don't know, is to spend time with the Lord. When you feel yourself being crushed under the load, when you feel yourself under the pressure that the world has us under, go to the Lord. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. By the way, He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Once you cast off the world's yoke and put on the Lord's yoke, it's a lot easier to carry. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Oh, what a Savior we have. Amen? Pray in everything, the Bible says in Philippians, and the peace of God shall keep your heart and mind. Pray in everything. And the Lord will give you peace. Here and here. I'll tell you, just some of us just need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm being crushed. God, I'm coming to You. Lord, just laying this burden at Your feet. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love. And Lord, we thank You that Your Bible has a solution to the pressure which we are under. And God, we know that the pressure we're under in comparison to what Your Son went through for us is so trivial and so light. Lord, when we get in a position where we are fainting and tired and discouraged, help us, Lord, to look to Your Son. Help us to look to the sacrifice He made for us. Help us to look at the pressure He went through that we might be saved. I pray tonight that there's someone here tonight who's facing and going through a very rough time, a time of stress and pressure, God, that You'd use tonight's word to help them. I pray, God, that they would bring that burden to You and leave it there. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, Only Trust Him, as we sing.
Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely.
Lord, touch your heart tonight. Won't you come? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Maybe it's family pressure, marriage pressure, job pressure, social pressure, financial pressure, whatever that is. Come to the Lord and leave it there.
We'll save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
You guys are going to have to sing it. Only trust Him.
Trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
So all our song leaders are up in the Financial Peace University. I hope they get it settled up there and come back down and sing for us at some point. But amen. Let me just remain standing, give you a couple of announcements, remind you, of course, tomorrow is the Metro Area Independent Baptist Fellowship, which is here It starts at 8:30 with donuts and breakfast stuff at 8:30. Preaching starts at 9:30. Brother Stone will be preaching first. Brother Eddie Johnson will be preaching second. And then Dr. A.B. Henderson will be preaching third. And looking forward to a good morning. And then we'll be feeding lunch. And Brother Ivy's got some chicken cooked up and some brisket. And just going to have a good... my wife's fixing those potatoes that everybody likes. And just have a good morning. Ladies, if you've helped us with desserts, we'd appreciate that. And if you haven't already got with my wife or with Miss Donya, just let us know about what you're bringing, okay? And then soul winning visitation Saturday morning at 10:00.